Just want to share with you our gospel this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20. It's 20b, the second part of it. And Jesus said, "And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I shared with you through the children's message just a few things about me, just so that you get a chance to kind of get a few ideas about where I come from and what I do. But one of the things that I want to share with you is I was born and raised a Methodist. And as a kid, I remember being somewhat afraid of our pastors, okay? What I remember of our pastors back then was they were usually these older gentlemen wearing black suits, okay? And they stood in the pulpit, almost attached to it. And they had big, bushy eyebrows. And they would stare out from under them as they pointed a bony finger down at us. And, you know, it was kind of, they preached a little fire and brimstone. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but as a kid, you can see that my earliest memories of pastors weren't that positive. But when I was 12 years old, the winds of change began to blow through our church. And with that wind of change came a younger pastor. And this isn't anything against older clergy, but this younger pastor came in with hair that was longer than was probably acceptable in that day. He came in, he wore a white alb instead of a black suit. He gave children's messages, and he sat down with the children, and he would show up to youth and play games with us. And so I started to look forward to going to church, especially to see Pastor Frank. And for the next 8 years, Frank was there to nurture me. He was my spiritual guide. And I came to love Pastor Frank. Then one day, Frank stood up in front of us and he announced that he was leaving, that he was being reappointed. And I was crushed because for 8 years, the eight most formative years of my life, Frank was my pastor. I knew those other guys, but he was the first person I knew as a pastor. And I asked why. And he explained the itinerancy to me. And by that time, at the age of 20, I could understand that. I was able to accept it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And I just knew the church couldn't continue without Frank because no one could replace Frank. Israel had experienced somewhat of a same emotional ride as I had. After Joseph's success as ruler in Egypt and after 400 years of enslavement, God heard his people's cry, and he called forth Moses to be their leader, to lead them. And Moses fought for them. He fought for their freedom, and he won. And then Moses was with them as they crossed the Red Sea. And then Moses brought them to the Promised Land. And you may recall that before they entered, Moses sent out 12 spies to do reconnaissance of this new land. And the spies came back and they said, "The land is everything God promised us, but there are huge people that live there, giant people. There is no way we can overcome them. We cannot conquer them." Now, 10 of the spies were saying this, but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, we need to be faithful. God has promised he would give them into our hands." But the people decided to side with the 10, and they would not enter the Promised Land. And as punishment, God forced them to wander through the wilderness for 40 years until that unfaithful generation had passed on. Now, while they were in the wilderness for 40 years, there were hardships and there were joys, there were celebrations, but all through it, their beloved Moses was with them. And the people, they trusted Moses, they respected Moses, and they loved him. But toward the end of that journey of those 40 years, one day the people started complaining again, wanting to go back to Egypt because they didn't have water. And so Moses went to the tabernacle with his brother Aaron. They prayed to God, and God spoke to them, and he said, take Aaron's staff and hold it over a stone. Speak to the stone, and water will come forth. And so Moses gathered the people around. But as you can imagine, after 40 years of dealing with these stiff-necked people, he was a little agitated with them. And so he called them forth and he said, what do I have to do? Do I have to bring water forth from this rock? And in his anger, instead of speaking to the stone, he struck it twice. He disobeyed God. And because of that disobedience, God said, Moses, you will never enter the promised land. Moses saw it from the mountaintop, but he never entered it. The people were shocked. For most of them, they had never known any other leader. There were only two adults left from that previous generation who entered the promised land, and it was the two faithful servants, Joshua and Caleb. All the rest had passed away as God had ordained. And some of these people may have had childhood memories of their Egyptian leaders, like I did of my old pastors as a child. But for most of them, the only leader they knew was Moses. And now they're told that he must leave them, and they have to continue on in their journey of faith without him. And I'm sure many of them were saying, well, there it goes. The nation is going to fall apart. It can't continue without Moses. Who's going to replace Moses? Well, God had made his decision. Moses wasn't going with them. And now this nation of now 2 million people, they needed a new leader. So who would come in and lead them? Who would even dare try to replace Moses? And as we read in our Old Testament passages from Numbers 27, Moses, he didn't want to leave them without a capable leader, so he asked God to appoint someone, and God chose Joshua. Moses then gave Joshua a few bits of authority so that he could ease his way into this transition of leadership. And Moses made sure that the people understood that Joshua had the authority to lead them, that he was fully approved by God. Now, although the people knew Joshua well because he was Moses' aide, they were still skeptical. Yes, Joshua was a great man, but was he Moses? Yes, Joshua was Moses' aide, his right-hand man, but was he a leader? Yes, Joshua knew God, but would God be with him and would God speak to him as he did with Moses? And as we read, we turn to Joshua 1. And we were told that God spoke to Joshua, and he told him to be strong and courageous. And he said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And he said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But did you hear what God told Joshua, what God told Israel? He said to be strong and courageous. Be obedient. He said, meditate on my word day and night. You know, Israel went on to conquer Canaan, and the people went in to possess the land God promised them, and they became a great nation. But who was responsible for all this great success? Was it Moses? Was it Joshua? Was it the faithful nation? No, it was none of those. The one person responsible for all of this success was God. It was God who worked through Moses to lead them out of slavery. It was God who provided for them in the desert for 40 years. It was God who chose and anointed Joshua to lead them. And it was God who fought alongside of them as they possessed the land. You see, it was God. It was God. In Joshua 1:3, God said, I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you or all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The emphasis is all on God working on behalf of his faithful people. Verses 7 and 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, it's all God. Although Joshua was a capable and terrific leader, without God being active in that, he would have failed and Israel would have been crushed. Although Joshua was a great leader, it could have been Caleb, it could have been someone else, just as long as God wanted them to succeed and they were faithful to be obedient to him. And God's promise did not end 4,000 years ago. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus makes the same promise to his disciples and all who would put their faith and trust in him, saying, As surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And Jesus is with us to the end of the age through the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who was active so long ago still works today. And it is through this Holy Spirit, the promise of God and Jesus to never leave us, to always be with us to the end of the age, is still being kept. Now, from what I have learned and what some of you have shared with me in the past week, I know that Pastor Arlene was well loved. I know that Pastor Arlene has brought you a long way in your faith journey. And I know that you trusted, respected, and loved Pastor Arlene. And she will surely be missed. But Pastor Arlene has finished the ministry that God had called her to do, and now she has retired. And some of you may be thinking, well, the church will never survive now without Arlene. Who's going to replace Arlene? Well, I have been called by God, and through his guidance, I have been appointed as your new pastor. Now, I'm not saying I'm Arlene. I'm not saying I'm Joshua. What I am saying is I'm Pastor Rick, and God has gifted me with different gifts and talents to lead you in this next stage of your faith journey. And I don't know where that's going to lead, honestly, but I can promise you this. I will be faithful to God and his guidance, and I will serve you to the best of my ability. I want to work with you. I want to walk with you by your side. In my role as pastor, sometimes I'm going to have to be out in front of you. I'm going to have to be edging you on. Other times I'm going to have to be behind you, booting you along. But most of the time, I want to be right there beside you, working with you, serving with you. And so, you know, my friends, that's where I want to be with you. Israel went on to be a great nation, even without Moses. And, you know, back at my home church, Runville, I don't know that anyone ever did replace Frank in my mind as the great pastor, but you know what? The church continued. The church continued to thrive. It continued to grow even without Frank. And I am confident that First Church Muncie will grow as well if we continue to study God's word, if we will be faithful to God and one another, and if we will love one another as Christ has loved us. And therefore, my friends, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord our God will be with us even to the very end of the age. Amen? Amen. Amen. Choose this day whom you will serve.